Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Abracadabra, Create What You Speak, with Ilan Azulay, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Abracadabra. Thank you for joining in. I'm Ilan Azulay. I'm your host, spiritual mentor, sound therapist, working with Tibetan bowls, and voice for you who are ready to reclaim your power, to see your gifts, to recognize your gifts, and to bring them out to the world, to map your experiences with no fear. And in this program, this is an empowerment program. In this program, I bring guests that bring their gifts from all over the world, whether they're musicians, spiritualists, artists, any kind of discipline, that are completely happy in the space that they're in, and they bring it out to the world so we can be encouraged and we can get connected, because we are all connected. It is all about relationships, especially during these Zoomy times. We discover what is important and what is really critical to our, not just survival, but our ability to thrive. And so today, I'm glad that you are here. I have the pleasure of bringing in Anthony Almonte. Hey, Anthony. Where is he? There he is.
What's going on? Can you hear?
Now I can hear you. Yes, Anthony is a singer and a percussionist. He is a great player. He was born in New York City and was influenced by many, many rhythms through the family, and Puerto Rican rhythms, Brazilian rhythms, Latin, just Latin in general, and other genres. Played with many musicians, not just musicians, but world-renowned musicians. And so, hi, Anthony. Thank you for being here, man.
Oh, Ilan, man. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure.
It's a pleasure.
It is indeed a pleasure. Now, I have to share, you know, I met Anthony, I don't believe in coincidences. So everything has a reason. But I met Anthony through him playing on who I consider the maestro of the maestro, the Beethoven of Israel, the Sting of Israel, Matti Caspi, and he played on that last tune of his.
That I, yes.
Right. So, you know, playing with Paul McCartney is all nice, but really, you're here because you played with Matti Caspi. You know, so.
So. Hey, man, that was a lot of fun, and Matti and his wife Raquel, they're amazing people, and I had the pleasure of not only meeting them but spending time with them, and we still keep in contact on a regular, and it's been a great pleasure to just have that connection with them.
That's great. So Anthony, tell us a little bit about you. You were born in New York, but you know, were you born into a musician family? Were you born into music family, or
it's a little interesting because the answer in short is no.
So we just switched during this cut. We switched from Bluetooth to wired headphones. If people are wondering how come he got suddenly these
I don't know, that's true, that's good to point out.
So Anthony, you were starting telling me about not being born into a musician family.
So it was like as a child my parents placed us in different activities, you know. We played sports, you know, dance, and music happened to be one of them. And I was fond of drumming. So I started drumming, and none of us really ever thought that it was going to be something that was going to transpire into a professional career in it. So it just got more and more serious as time went on, and the passion kept growing, and the interest kept growing as well. And here we are today.
Wow. So did you remain the only musician in the family, or other family members turned musicians?
There's a couple of musicians. My grandfather played some guitar and sang. I have a couple of cousins that are into the music. One of them heavily and has been, he's much older. My brother was a musician as well. But I kind of stayed on that path, you know, and continued on with the opportunities that kept arising.
That's great. I mean, you studied with musicians like Angel Rodriguez, Little Johnny Rivero. You're playing Charlie Langond.
Charlie Langond, yeah.
Charlie Langond. Okay, I'll let you say that because I'm not familiar and I totally butchered the name. And Charlie Langond, and then you start going into Latin. What pulled you into Latin?
That was just my childhood. So my parents, my father's Dominican, mother Puerto Rican, and we was raised in a household where Latin music was very prominent, was a part of our everyday life. You know, on weekends, my mother would clean the house and had salsa playing at full volume, and you know, all that kind of stuff. So that, you know, that was my youth. So when I was picking up Latin percussion, a lot of people ask me, for example, did you play drums before Latin percussion, or did you just start on Latin percussion? And my answer is always, I started Latin percussion just because I was engulfed in that music as a child growing up. So drums came on, you know, I was presented to drums much later on, like, oh, you know, this is nice. But it was really percussion, the initial passion.
That's really cool. So I got into to love Latin percussion, Brazilian music, because of Mati Caspi, because he was the pioneer. He brought the Latin, the Brazilian music to Israel. He did amazing things. He took songs that were completely different tempos and just slashed them in half and made them romantic melodies. And so I really got from that world, from really everything from Mati. So I want everybody to start getting a touch of who Mati is and what Anthony did on his song. So we'll play this. So here is a song in our memory. I translated also that song into English. Right. And did a little bit more editing, but that's a really beautiful, beautiful piece. So here that is.
חברנים ראיתי את שפתייך פתוחי שדה צבעו חיוך מוכר רציתי ללטף את לחייך פתאום הבנתי שנשקתי כאן בשביל החלומות שמעתי צעדייך עלי הסתיו נושרים ניסים לתך ארוכה בבוקר סתיו שוב התעוררתי לעוד יום תפל של אהבה סדוקה לעוד יום תפל של אהבה סדוקה ואת עינייך כחול של גחלים אולי אותו ירח קר מביט עכשיו אלייך כוכב נופל שמיים נעולים בשביל החלומות שמעתי צעדייך עלי הסתיו נושרים ניסים לתך ארוכה בבוקר סתיו שוב התעוררתי בלעדייך לעוד יום תפל של אהבה סדוקה לעוד יום תפל של אהבה סדוקה בשיח אברנים ראיתי את שפתיים שדה צבעו חיוך מוכר רציתי ללטף את לחייך פתאום הבנתי שנשארתי כאן פתאום הבנתי שנשארתי כאן
So how did you guys record this song? Did you guys record it remotely and then send it back? And
it's the year 2020. It's sending WAV files and projects and MP3s. So yeah, we recorded it remotely. Matty, he had basically the song laid out, and he sent it to me. He's like, Anthony, you know, what do you think of playing like an Afro-Cuban wawanko on this tune? And I listened to it, and I was like, man, this would be interesting, you know, to infuse these styles. So I said, yeah, you know, let me give it a try. And I had just started kind of, this was right in the beginning of like the quarantine. So I was still starting to figure out my kind of my setup. And so I told him, you know, this is a great way also for me to kind of understand the setup that I put together here. So I laid down each percussion instrument one at a time. Hmm. So I probably had about, Matty will probably remember this, maybe like seven percussion tracks on.
Oh, wow.
And then he added on, he put like the kind of a drum on there as well. And he mixed it all. I sent him all the tracks and he put it all together.
Yeah, he did a great
job. But there was room for adaptation and feels. So I had room to work with, which was nice.
Yeah, that's cool. How is working with him in comparison to musicians in the States? Like, how is the?
Good question. It's very different for me. I would say that for me personally, because I got to know Matty not as an artist. I didn't know his music when I first met him. I didn't know of him. You know, it's such a complete, distinct market. So when I met him, I met the person first.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started to become familiar with his music through him. he was sending me videos, you know, man, check this out, you know, check this, what I've done here. But at more from a friendship standpoint, mm-hmm. than me looking up to an artist. And of course you develop that respect immediately once you see his piece of work.
Yes.
So that's where it was a little different as opposed to an American artist that you've seen before. And you only know them, you only grow to respect them for their work first.
For the work first.
And then the relationship comes later. So I would say that was the distinction. And still, you know, I see the work Matty has done and I have Israeli friends that tell me, man, this guy's, and to me, it's like, I'm the guy I had dinner with is, that's my connection to him, you know, which is amazing. You have a different perspective.
Yeah. You know, it's funny during this coronic time, you know, it hit everyone in different ways. Everyone received it in a different fashion. Some see it as a very difficult time. I personally see it as opportunities. Great things happened during these things, especially during this time, especially during my work and personal connections in relationships, in connections to people.
Beautiful. Yeah.
You know, during this time, because, you know, during this time, the focus is really, you know, we sit and we talk. The focus is really the person that is in front of me. You know, we really are kind of focused on what it is. And especially if you meet somebody as far as a romantic relationship, you meet a woman or you meet a man, whatever that is, there is no, what I call it, the bribe of the touch, you know?
There
is no that bribe that can send one to a whole different area without focusing on really what's important in the relationship.
Right. Very true. Yeah.
How does it work for you? How does this whole Zooming thing works for you and not seeing people, or maybe now in New York is a little better, but
and even then, yeah, it I would say early on for sure. I am a person who I'm not used to being home. I'm even if I'm not on the road and you know, on tour. Like when I'm here, I'm still out and about. But I like being surrounded by folks, by friends, by people, you know, meeting new people. So this was very distinct. It took a while to adapt. But I do understand that in a lot of reconnection, and really enjoying the time to sit down to talk to folks, even if it's via Zoom or, yeah. or FaceTime or, you know, whatever electronic way. But it was different, but I did grow to appreciate it. And yeah, I mean, this it's hard, and I've been very blessed that no one dear to me has been affected, which I know so many people have. So I've managed to take this time to focus on things that I haven't necessarily had the time to focus on. So over the last almost 3 years now, I'd been on tour with Little Steven, and I never really gotten to focus on songwriting and producing my own work. And this was a blessing in by way of time. We had just had so much time on our hands. So it was like, you know, really focusing and catering that time towards the things that I really wanted to expand on, you know, and grow.
Wow, that's amazing. Tell me, did your approach to music change? I mean, yeah, you said you start writing more and writing, but as far as playing, you know, when you're with many people and you're all the time together, there are musicians that can play alone, but they cannot play together. You know, so if you've been on tour, you've played a lot with people, did that change any of your adaptation or way you adapt to being with an instrument?
I would say it changed in regards to the work that you're doing, because now you have to kind of visualize what someone else will play along to, you know, like I'm not a guitarist, so I have to, you know, think of that a little more, where I don't have the availability of people, you know, where I can just say, hey, just come on over and, you know, let's bang this out, and I want to hear your playing. So now you have to kind of tap into those kind of
spaces, or
you have to visualize these things a little more, which is a little hard sometimes when you're just looking at the same four walls, you know. But yeah, so that changes. But in regards to like playing out, as if, for example, if tomorrow we were to go out and start playing again, we've been doing this for so long that it'll just
come back. It's like riding a bike. So I have here this song, I Saw Her Standing There. That's live in London in 2017.
Yeah.
You're playing here with McCartney, right?
Yeah, I was playing with, so I've been with Stevie Van Zandt's band, Little Steven and the Disciples of Soul, which is an interesting thing because, so I joined that group in at the end of the summer, I guess, of 2017, like around September. And my very first show, we did a United States leg tour first, and then we went out to Europe for the second leg. So the first show in the US leg, my very first gig with the band, Bruce Springsteen is our guest.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, okay, this is a big introduction here for me. So we do that, you know, then we do the US leg. Then we fly out to Europe. First show in Europe is in London. Very first guest in London, Mr. Paul McCartney.
Wow. So
this is my first 2.5 months in the band. I'm like, okay, this is the level of, you know, special guest we're having on here. I don't know what to do. Where do we go from here?
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing.
It was incredible. Incredible.
So here's that I Saw Her Standing. We're going to watch that.
I got a friend of mine who wants to come out, and we need to finish some unfinished business, all right? Say hello to Mr. Paul McCartney, please. We got to finish this song we started. It was a year ago.
Thank you.
It's amazing. Wow, that was really amazing. Now, Anthony is not only a percussionist, but you're a wonderful singer. I mean, you're welcome. Absolutely, where it's due, it's due. You were featured on 2018 on the group of in 2018 you were in Los Hacheros single.
Yeah.
So what happened to your singing? Do you have an album coming up now? I don't know how these plans are working out with the corona and everything, but you have a new album that is due this year, right?
Yes.
So is that singing and percussioning?
That one is just singing. It's like I live two lives. And every now and then they overlap each other. But for the most part, they're two pretty separate lives. So my singing is very active, actually, especially now with the songwriting and producing work for what's coming up over the next I would say year or so. And then I have this album coming out next month, as a matter of fact. Salsa, I'm singing salsa with my mentor, Little Johnny Rivero. It's a 9-track album with a couple of great musicians on there. There's a lot of great musicians in there, but
there's a few that really stick out, Eddie Palmieri being one of them. And it was amazing. It was amazing having the opportunity to record with one of my teachers.
Wow.
It's great music, phenomenal arrangements. The songwriting, it was an opportunity for me to be a songwriter on an album as well. So Little Johnny also gave me a lot of say on the work, the mixing, and the marketing. So it was a great opportunity, all in all. So I'm very excited for the album to come out. It's due to come out towards the end of next month. I'll be posting a lot of stuff on.
Absolutely, we'll post. If you have links, we'll put at the end or the program or under your picture. We'll put your website and where you can get this, and all the information will be available.
Absolutely.
So
thank you.
So absolutely pleasure bringing your gifts and everything. I do want to talk. Oh yeah, well that's New York City.
New York City.
New York City.
That says New York City as it gets.
Oh, that's hilarious. That's wonderful. So I want us to hear the song with Los Acheros.
Yeah. That was a lot of fun. Los Acheros, they're really good friends of mine. Very talented, and there's a lot of connection with Israel in that band. I know Itai Chris, flute player, background singer.
All right.
Plays minor percussion as well. Incredibly talented. He's from Israel. And I know a few of the other musicians have a Jewish-Israeli background as well.
Wonderful.
And they play some mean salsa, some great salsa. So, and of course, the singer, Babo de Jimenez, is a great friend of mine. And we had the opportunity to work together on this one.
Oh, great. So here we go.
Comida pachangón.
Let me get stop that thing here.
That was a lot of fun.
It looks like a lot of fun. It looks like a lot of fun. The music, everything looks like a lot of good stuff going on there.
Oh yes.
So tell me, was there any time in your life during your career or when, you know, choosing to be in music? And it's not privileged those who can just say, okay, we want to be in music or this this field. And really be in it despite challenges. And how did it work with you? Do you have challenges that kind of brought you to a place of questioning where you're going through or the direction that you're taking? Did you have any of these? And it's okay also if you didn't, but you know, it's really interesting to hear how you handled it.
Absolutely. I most certainly did. I think most people that go into any sort of arts career have those doubts because it is unorthodox. It's a hard field to go into and make a living off of it. I think how did I handle it? It took me a while. I mean, it was hard to try to find balance, you know, within yourself and not doubt yourself too much, where it's detrimental to yourself. But interesting for me, I mean, I went into get my master's. I have a master's degree in business administration and finance. And that was kind of like a safe net. I mean, I use a lot of those skills, of course, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, when you get to that extent of studying, you use it everywhere you go, whatever field you get into. But while I was doing that, you know, that was a huge question. That's okay. What direction am I going to go? Am I going to continue the music career? Am I going to go into the more corporate field and the business field? And how do I balance that? And I remember speaking to a great professor in my master's program, who, as a matter of fact, when I first met him, he was kind of hard on me, and I kind of didn't like him. And he ended up giving me the best advice I could have gotten at the time. When I was finishing my program, my master's program, you know, he goes, okay, well, let's talk about what fields, you know, you want to get into. And he knew I was a musician, you know, I've been traveling and stuff. And he goes, okay, so weekends are out of the question. So anything regarding events or things like that in the corporate field, that wouldn't be good for you. I'm thinking, well, why not? I mean, I just did a master's program. You're just canceling out, you know, half of my my marketing field or, mm-hmm. He goes, no, because of your music. You know, I assume that on weekends you want to cater to music. You know, and at the time I'm thinking, man, I just worked my tail off to get my master's program. Let's not take anything out of the table. And he told me, Anthony, life without passion is not living. So always maintain your passion in whatever you do. If something mm-hmm. hinders that, you should not be doing whatever it is you're doing.
Wonderful, wonderful.
And
that's the juice of everything. If you know, it's like Churchill also said, you know, if we are not fighting for culture, what's the purpose? If we don't, if we're going to kill culture, and this is what's kind of happening now, you know, in a way, killing the culture.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's really I feel it's more political, killing the culture, because culture is really a stage for our voice to be heard. For our voice to come out and to voice what is not right in what is happening, and musicians and artists and so,
right, culture. And cultures is portrayed in different forms of expression,
yeah.
Through music, through dance, through cooking, through so many things. So yeah, if that voice is diminished in any way, you're losing from a lot of different aspects, not just only in vocal.
So you've been in this business program for 4 years, right? Something like that.
I did my bachelor's and master's.
And your master's.
In five years.
So for 5 years, you weren't confident that you can make a living out of your music, to say the least.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And getting into this program to begin with, was it your idea? Was it outside? Were there outside voices that told you, "Oh, you should do this. You should do this. You should do this." And
it was my idea. I since young, I mean, I've always liked studying business, marketing, and especially marketing, breaking down like sponsorships, activations, analyzing finances. Hmm. I liked working with numbers. I've always liked math, and especially
well, math music is math. You know?
It is applicable. That's why I love it. You know, applicable math. So even when I was young, you know, when I was about 14, 15, I said, man, I took an economics class, which is a little more vague, especially in high school. But I said, man, I really want to dive into this. This is interesting to me. As I felt the same way about astronomy, I thought the same about philosophy. So I do love studying. You know, I wouldn't say I'm just music and that's it. I have passions in other things. It's just the music is it's the way I really love to express myself. Mm. That is my outlet. Whereas the other things are interests more than it is my outlet. So I started getting deep into it. I knew I wanted to get a master's. You know, it was just something in me that I said, okay, I wanted to push myself to get to that threshold. But within that, there was that doubt, that, you know, that cloud of, well, what direction do I want to go? I could go either way. But my passion for music was too strong. It's just it's absolutely too strong.
Yeah. Well, glad you're here with that.
So am I. Thank you.
Did you experience judgment from people? Were people judgmental towards you and the fact you want to be a musician and whatever that you want to be just because of who you are?
Good question. Really good question. I would say yes. I feel like I got judgment from both sides, as a matter of fact. Mm. From the point of view of, oh, you're going into music, you know, like, is that really a career that you want to get into? And I also got judgment from the, oh, you're going into the corporate field. Like, you know, you didn't study music in college, you know. So I've gotten both judgments, which is interesting. But at some point, and especially, surprisingly enough, it was through my master's program where I learned to kind of center myself and center my attention with a lot of help from that professor. And really focus on, okay, what is it that you want to do? Because I mean, I've always been an avid believer in whatever you're going to do, you better do it right. You know, don't just dabble around and
if you're going to go for something, do the best what you can. Yeah.
Exactly. So I said, you know what, I'm going to focus my attention on one thing, you know, on going a certain path, and I'm just going to go my hardest at it. And if it doesn't pan out, well, at least I can say I did my best on it, you know. And regardless of the judgment, I know the amount of work that you know the amount of work that you put into something, and you know if you put all your effort in or you did not. I'm a huge workout. I love going to the gym. I'm a huge gym buff, and I tell people every time they come to the gym with me and they want to work out with me, it's like, if you excuse my French, if you half ass, you're not going to see your result. You have to go hard. Mm-hmm. And eventually, if you realize it's not for you, it's not for you. But at least you went hard to figure it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I don't know if you know, there is a book that is called The Four Agreements. Okay. The Four Agreements is by Don Miguel Ruiz. And it's a total technology. It's really a self-development and really a self-empowerment. And it's about the agreements that we do with ourselves, like taking things personally, you know. And so not to take things personally, and then it goes into details, and I work this in the workshops, but not to take things into personal way, to be impeccable with our words. And one of the other agreements is to do the best that you can in everything that you do. Also, if we take a job as whatever, just to go through college or to go through something, is to be the 100% at least, so we can actually see the result. Yeah. You know, if you bring it to musical terms, if you don't take the gain of the instrument high and you just crank the amp, you're not going to get the full juice of the instrument.
Right.
Crank the full juice of the instrument first and then go to them. So give it 100% of the, you know.
Yeah, that's, you're right. And the same goes with practicing. You know, so, if you're practicing your craft, you know, really dedicate time to it, and don't go out and expect, you know, the applauses are nice, and maybe you didn't practice as hard to gain those applauses, but go the extra mile and really hone in your craft. And it's all in the will, really. It's all your willpower to do this.
It's the willpower. Dare to will.
Right.
Wow. Yeah. Interesting. That's cool. So, Little Steven, I have Soulfire, live from a Soulfire tour in 2017.
The Disciples. Yeah, so that's one of the biggest, you know, blessings of my life, you know, and definitely in my music career, was to join Little Steven and the Disciples of Soul. I mean, I've gotten to know a huge percentage of the world because of that man and that band and everyone in that band. The past 3 years just have been an amazing blessing, and also exploring a style of music. I mean, I never saw myself. I've played different genres. I mean, funk, you name it, jazz, rock and roll was especially with a, you know, Rock and Roll Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm. That was one that I never really thought about much, you know? So it was a great experience for me to submerge myself as a Latin percussionist into the rock and roll. And Little Steven, I mean, he's a culmination of rock and roll, but a lot of soul, Disciples of Soul. That's obviously where the name comes from. And all these different influences, because Little Steven is such a music historian, and it translates and it reflects in his music. So it was an incredible experience.
Wow, that's great. Okay, so here is Soulfire. Let's do this.
I've seen them all come and go.
It's been a while since I see that.
Man, this is amazing. What this is, fusion of things. This is amazing.
Oh yeah.
Oh, this is great. This is great.
Wow, it's been a while since I see that.
That's a real blessing. I'm really excited that you're here. It's really this is the intention.
You.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Intention to bring the artists, especially now, to bring artists, to bring people from all over the world together. Especially because the times that we are in now, to have this voice, to have these gifts, our voice, you know, to bring out, it's amazing. So
absolutely.
That's great.
Well, dude, I'll tell you quickly, man.
Yeah.
Thank you for asking me some of these questions and of course for inviting me, but like, really reflecting, you asked some really, really, you know, deep questions and it made me really think back about, what my headspace was in those times. So thank you for that.
Well, no, you're welcome. Thank God. And, you know, this is, you know, we're connecting for a reason. Everything is, every connection and every relationship is for a reason. Everything that happens has a spiritual reason.
Yes.
You know, it may appear to be part of the, oh, this is what I did, so this is what I get. But, you know, there is a reason for that. So same thing with you, you know, it's, there was a lot of things that are woken here on my end. So it's mutual. So I'm grateful yeah, that's good, man. It's great.
Likewise, okay.
It's great. You have the last piece I want to show on tour, the Toka artist, right? That's Toka Percussion, right? The Toka, that's a
company,
promo that you did for the company.
Yeah. So I love those guys. So I signed with Toka like the first quarter of 2018. And it was like I was right in the middle of the Little Steven tour, and they've been just absolutely amazing, and I've grown relationships within that company so rapidly, so quickly, just because there's such genuine folks. Their equipment is of course incredible. I mean, I've used you know, on tour, it's just a mess of Toka instruments, and you see that the size of my my percussion setup, it's pretty big. Mm-hmm. They've been absolutely amazing, and it's been a pleasure representing them around the world.
What's up, everybody? Anthony Almonte here, percussionist for Little Steven and the Disciples of Soul, and a proud Toka percussionist.
Connected to when I hear you playing, and especially like in places where you're more isolated, so I can hear you playing without other instrumentation, is that you're singing with your drumming. It's like singing with your drums. You know, there was I love Michel Camilo too.
Of course.
His drummer back in those days was Dave Weckl, and I don't know if it's like singing with the drums, and you have this. And so this is really wonderful. This is really beautiful.
I feel like it's. I learned it through my mentor, Angel Rodriguez. It's you become so connected to your instrument, especially like drums. Drums for me is so, it's so fundamental and so rooted and grounded. And I feel like it comes out on my playing, that singing. It's because it's an extension of myself. Mm-hmm. You see the excitement. I mean, it's hard for me to not be happy and enjoy myself while I'm playing, to the point that I get in trouble for it. I remember we were playing a song with Little Steven, and it's like, you know, it's a very serious, you know, not the happiest tune, the theme of the tune. But we're playing a reggae groove, you know, kind of this reggae rock groove. And the drummer and I are kind of like, you know, bouncing ideas off of each other on stage. And I have this gigantic smile. And Steven sees the video after. He goes, Anthony, that song, you might not want to smile.
Well, listen, now with the corona, you can put the mask and smile. Nobody sees it.
I get it. I have it ready. Here we go. We're ready to go.
That's amazing.
I'll try not to wear these on stage, though. Yeah. It's better. It's better to have, you know.
Of course, of course. This is really, I mean, we're connecting. Like, this is wonderful, man. This has been such a pleasure, Anthony. I really appreciate that. Thanks, man.
Pleasure's all mine. I appreciate Thank you, Ilan. That. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. So you have a wonderful, wonderful day. And I will thank you very much for being here. And for you who have been with us, I almost forgot that we are on the radio. For you've been with us, thank you for being in. Thank you for taking the courage to remember, the courage to will, and to dare to will. Like Anthony said, let's taking the daring, the action of daring to will, to go back to these places that we may have forgotten, and really bring life and connection. It's all about connection. So thank you very much for being here. I'm Ilan Azulay. Thank you, Anthony. Thanks, man. I really,
dude, I had so much fun, I have to say. Thank you. Thank you for that.
You're welcome. You're welcome. My pleasure. Thank you. And you know, you never know. We're connecting. Everything has a reason, you know, a reason. And we connect, and especially during this time, in spite of these times and because of these times, we are connecting.
Right.
Because of this place of separation, we are connecting through a place of cohesion. We're creating something that is, you know, it's amazing. And I've met people like yourself, others whom I wouldn't have met if it wasn't this, and we wouldn't have made this connection, bring the gifts out and just have conversations, talks, whatever. You know?
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. I feel the same way. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So amazing. And now it's up to us to maintain that.
Amen.
You know, through this and after, you know.
Amen. Amen. And we are in the midst of a shift, and it's not going to be like it was. It's different. Right. We're living in changes of history times, you know. We're actually living through this change. It's like going from the dark ages to something. Yeah.
Right. This unknown. It's so true. Oh man. Thank you, and thank everyone who's listening too. Yeah. Thank you all so much.
Casa de bamba, ou minha casa é casa de bamba.
You're listening to Abracadabra. Create what you speak with Elon Azulay. Only